بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت مولانا رشید احمد گنگوئی صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ از کنسیڈرڈ ایز دی لیڈر دا امام آف آل اور علماء اینڈ پائس پیپل. سو ہی از کوٹڈ as a precedent, his actions, his statements, his verdicts are taken very highly and they are taken as a standard. There is a lengthy incident of how he had taken bayat at the hands of Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. One important aspect in his bayat, and Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi admitted him for the bayat, so Hadi Sahib told him to repeat the words. In the words that he had to repeat, Hadi Sahib asked him, say that I have taken bayat at the hands of Imdadullah. So he repeated, I have taken bayat at the hands of Hazrat Maulana Haji Imdadullah Sahib Damat Barakatuhum. Hari Sahib Rahmatullah says, Hazaron mein ek hoshyar admi nikle. From the multitudes, there was one person that's intelligent. In other words, when he's accepting him for the bayat, he's not going to say, I have taken bayat at the hands of Hazrat Hari Sahib. Hazrat Hari Sahib himself will not use these titles. But the person that is talking about Hari Sahib, he must use these titles. Up to that point, most of the people that were taking bayat were common people and not people that were educated in deen. Hazrat Maulana Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah was educated, so he understood why Hari Sahib Rahmatullah is speaking in that word. So this aspects of respect, these aspects of adab is a very integral part of our deen. And failure to understand respect, we make big mistakes, big major blunders. Look at some simple hadiths, right? Simple, common hadiths. All the hadiths are important. When I say simple, what I mean is these are hadiths that we come across quite frequently. That's what I mean when I say simple hadith. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu both were discussing some issue. In that discussion, like it is common in a discussion, sometimes the voices are raised. So Abu Bakr radiallahu's voice was raised. He may have said something that was a little bit firm, a little bit hard. Umar radiallahu anhu was naturally hurt at the type of words that was used by Hazrat Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu sensed straight away that I have used some words that were not right. So he asked him for an apology. A discussion will happen when you're discussing, and it's your contemporary, it's more or less the person that is considered as your equal. So you must expect that he will use some words. So the participants in a discussion mustn't take it personally. Right? At the spur of the moment, someone says something. Now you won't say that, you know, in a discussion this person stated this words. He mentioned this type of words. So it's not right to take it personally. In a discussion, things get heated up. You say something, and after that everything is back to normal. Or, if you are hurt for the moment, then you should resolve as soon as possible. You got hurt about what was used. Then as soon as possible afterwards, you need to resolve the whole issue. Don't take it so personally that for years after that, you can't see the person, you can't talk to the person, you can't meet the person. Unfortunately, our zuruf, our hearts have become very small. So one word that is used against our integrity and then we can't digest it. So we try and assume such a position for ourselves that we feel that we are, there's nobody as holier than us or greater than us. So why was this word used against me? Taking the stride, well, man got heated up. He's human being and he had to mention these type of words because he's human. Right? So you take it in the stride, you won't take it, you won't be affected. But you don't take it in the stride, then you can't enter a discussion, you can't talk to people. Then it's better for you not to get into a discussion. Then you rather just go into one mountaintop, isolate yourself until death overtakes you. But if you have to interact with people, you must expect this as well. One day you're going to call the shots, and one day your brother is going to call the shots. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. These things are going to happen. Take in the stride, carry on with your life. Now you can keep on saying, why did he mention these type of words, and what did I do to him? I don't live from out of his favors, then how can he tell these type of words to me? So anyway, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, both were having a discussion. Abu Bakr's voice was raised, mentioned something. Umar radiallahu anhu was hurt. So Abu Bakr immediately asked for forgiveness. But Umar radiallahu anhu was hurt and he was not willing to forgive. And then the Sharia has made a provision as well that for 2 or 3 days, alright, it's alright. Experience the pain, then within 2 or 3 days it was resolved. Maximum 3 days. After that, then don't bear a grudge after the third day. One is a grudge pertaining to some discussion or your personal integrity. And one is for dini reasons, purely, squarely dini religion, dini reasons. If I leave out talking to someone, it's alright, it's permissible. It's purely dini reasons that I leave out talking with someone. That's permissible. For example, that person doesn't perform namaz at all. He doesn't perform namaz at all. So I am disgruntled, I am disgusted that how come he's not reading namaz, he's not even performing Jummah Salah. So in order to impress upon him, I leave out talking to him. That's permissible. Why? It's done purely for dini reasons. But for your own personal integrity, your personal respect and all that, and you leave out talking to the person, that's not right. Aisha radiallahu anha had left talking to her nephew Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anha. She felt that he did not conduct himself correctly. Aisha radiallahu anha gave a huge amount of wealth in charity. Big, big amount in charity she gave out. Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa at that time. So, in a fit of anger, he says that, well, if Aisha is going to carry on like this, then we'll regulate her wealth. We will not allow her to do this. When Abdullah ibn Zubayr mentioned this, and as Aisha heard this, as Aisha was very affected, said, Wallah, I'm not going to talk to this boy, this youngster again. It was her nephew. And for religious reasons, for dini reasons, she stopped talking to him. How can he control my charitable works? I want to do charity, how can he stop it? He's got no authority, he's got no right to do that. It's a lengthy story, but it ended in this way, that Abdullah ibn Zubayr could not stand it any longer. He's also a Sahabi, he's a great person. And he could not take it any longer that how come my auntie, my khala, she is just blankly refusing to talk to me. So there were other Sahaba that were also the nephews of Aisha, like Miswar ibn Makhrama and other Sahaba ikram, they were also Aisha's nephews. So he spoke to them and asked them that if they can go under some pretexts to help Aisha al-Diranha. So these two, three people, they got together and they asked for permission to come towards Aisha. In the meanwhile, Abdullah ibn Zubair also was there. So when they asked for permission, they asked, "Do you give permission to all of us? Do you give permission to all of us?" So yeah, permission for all of you. So Abdullah ibn Zubair, he slipped in because permission was given for all. And she didn't know that Abdullah ibn Zubair is within this Jamaat. So he slipped in and they went in. And he went, it was his Kala, so he went and hugged her and asked her for maaf. "I can't, how can I talk to you? I've taken an oath, I'll never talk to you." And they prompted Aisha, "Do talk to him, please." They begged and begged until Aisha gave in and she spoke to him. But whenever she remembered this incident of her breaking her oath, she used to cry most profusely until her dopatta, her headgear, would be covered in tears. And she freed approximately 40 to 50 slaves in expiation of this kafara of hers, in expiation of this qasam of hers. So to leave out talking is purely for dini religions, is permissible. But for dunyavi reasons, personal, to leave out talking, that's not right. Anyway, we are getting back to this incident of Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And I explained respect, people's position, recognition of senior people, greater people, that's a part of our deen. So, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was disappointed that why were these words used against me? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu realized that this was my mistake. He asked for forgiveness. But by now, Umar radiallahu anhu's anger and his disappointment had not yet subsided. So he went away. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu felt that the second best thing is to ask Rasulullah Pasam to intercede. Because he wants his account to be clear with Allah Ta'ala. See, these people that are very great, then they don't want even a moment to pass without the relationship with Allah Ta'ala being straight. This morning I was explaining and how particular they are about these things. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawla Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, in the month of Ramadan, and people will, there will be hundreds and hundreds of people waiting to meet him and they'll be leaving. People came to spend the night, one night, two nights, according to what times they've come. So in the morning they will make musafa, they will meet and they will leave. So I used to see these crowds, huge, huge crowds. Sometimes 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people is meeting them and they are leaving. So there is a crowd there, 2,000, 3,000 crowd, and people are meeting and they are leaving. One youngster, tall and big, so he gave his hand to make mulaqat and he requested for some dua. So Hazrat says to him that you are asking for dua but you don't have any beard. You are breaking the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and then you are asking for dua as well. So Hazrat wasn't too happy. So this youngster, he spoke out and he says, "Hazrat, I don't have any beard. I'm tall in bulk, but I don't have any beard yet. I'm still too young." And Hazrat conceded himself, "I don't have any beard." Now look at the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Straight away he broke out in a profuse tear. Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah, he broke out in tears, complete. Imagine there's 3,000 people waiting there. And here the man, he requested him to keep a beard. And that person says, "No, I don't have a beard. I'm still too young. So it's no fault of mine." He says, "Please do forgive me." Hazrat says to this youngster, "Please do forgive me. I've reprimanded you. Unjustly I've reprimanded you. So do forgive me." He could have said, "No, this is a miscalculation. I misread you," because generally nowadays people don't keep beards. So it's a miscalculation and I don't take it to heart. And he could have forgotten it. But he broke down in a severe tear notwithstanding all those people that are standing this and all, I need my relationship to be clear with my Allah Ta'ala. I don't want any interruption. Please, you do forgive me. Imagine the consciousness. You see, this is that important aspect, the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, keeping that relationship clear, not allowing any type of interruption in that relationship. When we talk about a relationship, we only talk about certain aspects. Namaz, roza, hajj, zakat, etc. These are very important, the most important things. But then that doesn't mean that we should neglect and ignore the relationship with people. If that is important, this is also important. If it is Allah Ta'ala that made that obligatory, then it is the same Allah Ta'ala that made this also obligatory. Equally obligatory. So if you're worried about that, then worry about this as well. For Allah Ta'ala to waive his right is easy because he is Ghafoor Rahim. But for man to waive right is not an easy thing. He doesn't simply give in. So we need to understand, we need to check this out very, very clearly. Abu Buzurgan al-Din, they had paid a lot of attention in these type of things. Smallest, causing the smallest of pain to anybody. One Peer Sahib, very, very popular with a certain class of people he was. So he was ailing and he wanted to come and recuperate and take a rest at Thanabon. So Mawla agreed to come here. Mawla arranged for his living and his quarters and all that. And he was a popular person in a certain class, so he came with all his attendants and what have you, at least about 50-60 people. Well, Mawla arranged for everybody. They were supposed to stay in Thanabon perhaps for a year or so. So anyway, all this had happened. Hazrat's one murid, after Asr, he was taking a walk, a stroll, and he went on that end. So curiosity had the better over him. He went past that building and he saw that same Peer Sahib and he saw bowls of fruit and all that. So he remarked, mashallah, what good fruit. So the Peer Sahib insisted that you also take this one bowl of fruit. Initially he refused, but then when he insisted, he gave it to him. This whole incident came to Mawla Thanvi Sahib rahmatullahi, that this person went past and this was the incident that took place. So Mawla called for him and asked him, did this happen? He said, yes, it happened. So, well, then you go out of the khanqah. Because it's obvious, when you talk to a respectable person and you speak about the good food or whatever he's got, out of consideration, he will pass that on to you. Any person of respect will do that. So this is an indirect way of asking. And asking is not permissible. Though you're not asking in clear words, but in inference, through inference you are asking. So this asking is not permissible, not right, not a right thing, called ishraf. Mawla's work is to make islah, to correct and rectify. That's why people come there. Otherwise, what's the need of people coming when he's not reforming and correcting them? So now you go out. This person went out, and in the meanwhile, the Peer Sahib came to know that this is what transpired. So he went to intercede for this murid here, that this murid, on account of my mistake, this person was expelled, so do forgive him. Now, Hazrat is in a catch-22 situation. Because if Hazrat calls that murid back, then his reformation and correction will not be done. He's calling him back now, it won't affect him in any way. That I was chased out and I was called, they need me, so they called me back. So how is he going to be corrected? But if he does call him, if he doesn't call him, then he's going to impact upon the Peer Sahib. The Peer Sahib has got a heart problem. And a heart patient you have to be very, very particular, very careful about. Small things will hurt him. So Hazrat has got in mind that he is a heart problem, he is a heart patient. And a heart patient, how do you talk to him? He's got this in mind. And he's got it in mind as well that this murid, he needs to be corrected. He needs to be corrected, and this heart patient that is coming and residing here, he needs to be respected as well. So how do you reconcile the both? So Hazrat sent a message that go and ask him what he wants now. Ask this murid, what does he want? So he said, no, I just want to come back. He said, right, you can come back. So now Hazrat did not call him. He said, no, he wants to come back. So because he wanted to come back, he was called back. So the cautioning, don't do this again. So the cautioning and the correction was done. But in the meanwhile, this person that is ailing with a heart problem, see, so he was respected as well. See. So people's to make considerations for people according to their position, their ranks, it's all important things in our deen, whereas we disregard these things, small things. No, I told him a mouthful. What was in my heart? I just told him, finish, khalas. But you told him whatever you need to tell him, but how does it impact on him? Is he comfortable? Or did he feel hurt about it? So in the other things, we are quite forward and we are quite advanced. But in hurting people, you know, we talk of mental trauma. Yeah? All right, physical abuse, we try and refrain from. Then verbal abuse, we try and refrain from. What about mental abuse, mental trauma and abuse? I gave some examples some other day also. There's a lot of ways to do this mental abuse and trauma. One person was in a marital situation. So he tells me that his wife, just to spite him, what she would do, 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night, up past 12, when he's fast asleep, she goes to the bath or something. And when she comes out, she leaves the tap. It's one drop at a time. Tap, tap. So the whole sleep pattern is gone, finished. He's waiting for the next tap. He's waiting for the next tap. In that, his whole sleep is gone. So she's putting him into a trauma. But that's guna, it's a serious guna. And now we think it's a small thing. No, I didn't abuse him physically. I didn't abuse him verbally, no abuse. The tap was just, I forgot to close it completely. Very easily you can come out, but it's an abuse, see, mental abuse, trauma. So these things we don't consider as part of our deen. It's part of our deen, these things. Do you abuse the person? Do you hurt the person? So anyway, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was affected, so he went to ask Rasulullah to intercede. In the meanwhile, Umar had hardly reached his home, and he felt that Abu Bakr came to ask me for forgiveness, and I turned him down. I declined. It was wrong of me. What I needed to do is to accede and to accept that apology, not to turn the person down. Like I explained, in discussions this will happen, someone's voice will be raised, someone will say something. So he came asking for an apology. Now here Abu Bakr is by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was disappointed with Umar radiallahu anhu, not with Abu Bakr. The wording of the hadith, Hal antum tariqu li sahibi? Will you people just spare a friend, spare my friend? For my sake, will you spare my friend? Will you people spare my friend for my sake? Abu Bakr went on to say, Ya Rasulullah, but it was my mistake. Rasulullah didn't pay attention to that. Hal antum tariku li sahibi? Will you spare my friend for my sake? So there are certain areas of respect, and they are not negotiable. See, some awliya ikram, buzrugan adeen, and then we heard them. Now, it may be that they had heard also, they made a mistake. But they are awliya ikram and buzrugan adeen. And they say that unki ulti bhi sidhi ho jati hai. They made a mistake, but the wrong of this also becomes right. Like here, apparently it seems that it's Abu Bakr's mistake. And this hadith in Bukhari Sharif is not a Zayif hadith. Nobody can talk about it as a Zayif. It's in Bukhari Sharif's hadith. Hal antum tariku li sahibi? Will you spare my friend for my sake? And mind you, when you hurt these people, then after that, then you just go down one way. You can't progress afterwards. The doors just begin to close for you. Outwardly it may seem that it was they who had made the mistake. But now this is what has happened, what has resulted. In Jalalabad there used to be one great buzurg, Qalandar Shah, rahmatullah alayhi. Now this was a buzurg that used to see Nabi Sam every day of his life. Sahib Huzuri, and he used to see Nabi Sam every day of his life. Some people are gifted with different gifts. This, remember, it's a world of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will gift as he wishes. Like in material, you'll see, someone Allah Ta'ala made a multimillionaire, someone is a pauper, someone is a toho, casual laborer. Now you can't ask Allah Ta'ala why this person was favored like this and why am I not favored. You can't ask Allah. Allah Ta'ala will favor how he wants. He knows. نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ. That's not your place to ask why Allah Ta'ala favored him like this and why wasn't I favored like that person was favored. So anyway, this buzurg used to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every day without fail. In the safar to Hajj, he was upset with his camel driver, youngster, and he was upset with him. So he slapped him. Now this youngster happened to be a Sayyid from the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He slapped him, and the moment he slapped him, now this gift that he was enjoying, that gift was gone, finished. He can't see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 101 times he went and asked that youngster to make maaf, and that youngster said, wholeheartedly I forgive you. But that gift is gone now, it's removed, no more is he seeing Rasulullah Sallallahu The one that has enjoyed this type of gift and it's pulled away from him, ask him what it is. What it is. You've been enjoying it and now you've been deprived. So what it is to be deprived, ask that person. The one that didn't taste it in the first place, for you nothing, what's there? But the person that tasted it and now it's moved away from him, how he takes it, how he feels. He is pleading. He's going to one sheikh and other sheikh and other buzuk, not working out. Until some time had passed. Eventually, he pleaded to Allah Ta'ala and asked for forgiveness for a couple of days, several good days. Someone showed him, just go by the Rose of Mubarak, you'll see one black woman there. She doesn't seem to be nice, but just go there. So that black woman saw him before he could even open his mouth. This woman tells this youngster, this buzurg Qalandar Shah, sahab, she tells him, that Shuf Hazan Nabi Sarsan, look, this is Nabi Sarsan. In a life state, she showed him Nabi Sarsan, and that gift that was shifted was returned back to him. That gift that was shifted away was returned back to him. So there are certain people that are awliya, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their positions are very high, very, very high. So you need to see and need to understand and don't hurt them in any way. Even though it may seem outwardly that they are wrong, outwardly it seems, it's seemingly, whether it's wrong or not wrong, you don't know, but seemingly, outwardly it seems that what they... Don't worry about their small mistakes and their weaknesses. See, the hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif goes, nowadays, everything that you see is supported with hadith because people don't want to believe. There's everything in the hadith there is, but samajh bhi ho bhai. One person, Rasulullah was with an expedition with a jamaat, and he asked the sahaba kiram, any volunteer to look after this post? So one sahabi says, yes, I will look after the post. So anyway, in the morning, Rasulullah Paksam had read the Fajr Namaz, and he was, with the corner of his eyes, he's watching this person that was dispatched to look after the post, is he returned or not? Until Nabi Sam had saw him, so he was much more calmed, seeing the person returning. Anyway, after the Namaz was over, Rasulullah Paksam got speaking to him. So he asked him that, how did you spend the night? Did you ever jump off your mount? So no, unless it was a natural need, you know, going to toilet or something. Otherwise, I was on the mount right throughout the night. So, well, then you have secured your place in Jannat. Now, it will not affect you what you do. Whatever you do now, it will not harm you in any way. Whatever you do from this point onwards, it's not going to harm you. You have secured your place in Jannat. You understand? Now, sometimes some people have certain khidmat. There are certain services that they have offered for deen. As a result, then Allah Ta'ala has admitted them into His mercy already. Then if they've got some discrepancies and mistakes, Allah Ta'ala will forgive it, will wash it for them. So now, when you see this class of people that have done some service for deen, great service of deen, then you have to be very, very careful, very cautious. Now, then don't ask him, why he's doing this? Every small thing of his watching. He's a man, he may have made a mistake, he may have got upset at something, or maybe some mustahab he left out at some point. And then you, like a wise thing, say, you know, if he's a buzurg, then how can he make this type of mistake? If he's a buzurg, then how can he make this type of mistake? Okay? Like for example, now, he may have put his left shoe first and then his right shoe, right? So how can he be a buzurg? So you look for the small mistakes of his and you yourself will get deprived of barakat. So don't you then look for their minor mistakes, their weakness, don't look for it. They have already been ushered in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala for the khidmat and the services that they have offered for deen. But you have got no service, you got nothing, to your credit you got nothing. They have got abundant rewards and abundant things that they have already in record by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they've already been ushered. So these people, this class of people, be careful of them. I mention this because these aspects of adab, you know, this whole discussion here, Sayyid, Anta Sayyidi, Anta Mulaya, right? This whole discussion is on adab. How do you address your elder? How do you talk to him? How do you speak to him? In every community you have these people, who years for years they had served the community. Before we were around, before we could qualify and graduate as ulama, these people had offered their services. They had offered their services as a result of our parents. And our elders were on the path of guidance because of these people's services. Now we come into the scene and we forget these people and their khidmat and their services. Then this is not right. We mustn't forget what they have done. When we were not in the picture, or we were not at all in the picture they had served. Like people like Umarji Sahib Rahmatullahi, Yunus Patel Sahib, these are all great people. They were there before we were around, before our fathers were around, they were there and they were serving already. Hundreds of people had been blessed at their presence, whatever it was. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't forget. Kana Allah shakiran alima. Allah Ta'ala is most grateful. He recognizes. He appreciates people's works. He doesn't forget. We look at their mistakes and their weakness and we pick out their mistakes. Oh, he's a buzurg, then why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? So in the long run, what happens? You get smashed down. Yes, if you want a difference of opinion, you can have a difference of opinion. There's nothing wrong. But you don't lose respect for the person. Don't at all lose in secret, in open, in his presence or in his absence, don't ever lose that respect. You talk to him at any time, you talk to the person with respect. You will see it will take you a long, long way. In your material also, it will take you a long way. In worldly matters, it will take you a long way. In deeni matters also, it will take you a very, very long way. That's a little bit of respect. Look at the good that he's done, forget the mistakes, and you will see how long it takes you. You hear of Mahmud Ghaznavi Rahmatullahi, very, very successful ruler, right? Very successful ruler. And the success came to him, how it came to him. He had an alim as a guest, great alim as a guest. So he made sure that in that whole stay of that alim, he would walk, he would remain behind and let that alim be in front. The kitabs have got it, he remained 7 steps behind. So this alim, great person, he made dua that may this kingship, you know, this rulership, may remain in your family for 7 generations. And so it happened. That for 7 generations after that, the kings were appointed from his descendants. But that was one act of adab that he had done. As a result, he secured 7 generations. One act of adab, and 7 generations were... He secured 7 generations. And one act of disrespect, and you wash everything out. Everything that you have achieved, you just break it down, just smash it down. So this is a very, very, very sensitive issue, is a sensitive thing. If you got a difference of opinion with an elder, then let it be with respect. Don't ever come to the level of disrespect, disregard, or don't hurt the person in any way. Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had differences of opinion. But in all the differences, Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, though Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah was his junior, he says that I found him to be a very respectable person. The nature of the difference was quite serious. But is pure ikhtilaf ke zamane mein, maine kabhi nahi dekha ke unke zaman se ek ghair sharifana lafz nikalta ho. In this whole duration, I haven't heard him speaking one word or so that was disrespectful. Though the difference was quite severe, but one disrespectful word, never. Never, not a disrespect. They confined the difference to the issue. It's an issue now, right? This is an ikhtilaf. Here, this is where we are differing. So we just confine it to that point. We don't extend it to our relationship. The relationship is normal. To the extent that Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he heard of Mawlana Madani Sahib Rahmatullah being imprisoned. So he heard about it. It was meals time. The whole day Mawlana hadn't eaten. Whole day from the morning at Maghrib time he comes to eat. And just then they tell him that Mawlana Madani Sahib Rahmatullah has been imprisoned. He couldn't take one morsel into his mouth. Just refuses. His system just refused to take anything. So someone told him, but he volunteered himself to go to prison. Political reasons, and he had volunteered to go to prisons. So Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh explained to that person that tried to console him, says, Tum mujhe tasalli dene chahte ho, kya Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu anhu khud apne zati tor par nahi gaye the kya Kufa ko? You're trying to comfort me. Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu anhu was martyred in Kufa, right? Did he go of his own initiative? Even of his own initiative, and there he was martyred. So you're trying to comfort me. And then he would say that I didn't know that the level of my love for this Madinah was so intense that I can't take one single morsel of food. So the respect and the adab that we need to show is different. We have a difference of opinion, just confine it to the issue. Don't extend it to a relationship or talking and then show disrespect and mudslinging and what have you. We have a difference, like the imams have got differences amongst themselves. But they don't come to the point of disrespect, disregard, or ignoring the person. We respect Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, had numerous differences with Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Numerous, hundreds, maybe thousands. If you look in the kitab, you find thousands. But he would say, "Annasu iyalun fil fiqh li Abi Hanifa." Everybody wants to learn fiqh. They'll have to, whether they like it or not, they will have to refer to the kitabs of Abu Hanifa. Anybody. So he recognized him, he respected him. He's got differences. And he confined the difference to that. He confined it to that only. He didn't extend it to the relationship. He didn't run the person down. So in this age and time, this is what one of the things that I notice, that people are losing out and people are not progressing. The reason for this is that adab is gone. There is no adab. If this adab comes in, you'll find that you can make a lot of strides, a lot of progress. Great, great progress. Okay. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was asked about Alqama and Aswad, two tabi'is. Who is greater? I look at respect, adab. So Abu Hanifa rahmatullah says that these personalities are such. Abu Hanifa is also a tabi'i. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah is also a tabi'i, and he is asked his question about two other tabi'is, Al-Qama and Aswad, the students of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He's asked about them, that who is greater. So Abu Hanifa's answer is that they are such great people, such luminaries, that I'm not even worthy of taking their names, let alone making a decision who is greater. You're asking me to show you who is greater. I'm not in the position of taking the names as well. You know, some years ago, that Bayyad Chacha used to be here, when Ismail's grandfather, his dada, he's related to me his personal experience. So that Chacha was explaining once that some friend of his, he spoke out against Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullahi. Buzurgan al-Din, if they see a mistake, they will correct, whether it is in the Jamaat, whether it is in the madrasa, whether it is in the khanqah, they will point out the mistake. So if there was some mistake, someone went out in Jamaat, and his wife wrote a letter to Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi Alayh. The man is gone 6 months, how must I run my house? He has left nothing there in the house. No provision. How must I run the house? I've got children here, his children. He's left nothing behind me. He went on to the Josh, he went out. So obviously, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi has to correct this, rectify the situation. If you need to go out, you need to make proper, satisfactory, reasonable arrangements for your family and dependents. You can't just go out in a Josh like that. So these type of things, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi has to correct. Now, that person heard about this and he made a statement that Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi is against Jamaat work. Anyway, that man was a very, very active supporter, very active in the Jamaat circles. But Mawlana Ismail's grandfather, his dad, explained to me, I've seen the man personally and the different phases that he was going through. Now his kurta went out, his namaz went out, no faraz namaz, no kurta, his beard went out, everything went out. Had to do this and everything went out. After some years, someone explained, go and ask that buzur for maaf, he'll make dua for you, things will come right for you again. Came back into his mind, okay, well, I did this thing here, stupidity of mine, he wrote a letter of maafi. The moment he wrote the letter of maafi, there the beard began to come, the kurta began to come, the namaz came right, everything fell in place. So I emphasize, we are doing some work now, and someone else is doing something else. The reasons for what he did, we don't know completely. And we run the person down, you're going to get yourself affected. Forget these people, they have secured their places, in their positions, they have secured whatever they have secured. And you are nowhere. And you speak out against them, you're going to lose out yourself. Okay? You're going to lose out yourself. Like it's that mountainous goat, you know. Ishfaq ala ra'asika la ala al-jabali. Ishfaq ala ra'asik. That mountain, you know, mountain goat is like a very notorious, very aggressive. I think it's got, its horn is knocking, is smashing the mountain. So someone tells that mountain goat, "Bhai, you take pity on your head, not on the mountain. You're going to smash the mountain. You're not going to smash, you're going to smash your head. So if you're going to speak out against them, then you're going to smash yourself. You don't want to destroy them, you're going to smash yourself." So this aspect of respect, muhabbat, and love for these people here, this is an important aspect of our deen. Great people who have rendered services for deen, and respect them, honor them, and leave their mistakes to themselves. Don't you get entangled in their mistakes. Their mistakes just leave it between them and Allah Ta'ala, let them carry on. But your duty, my duty is to respect them. Forget the rest. Why he said this and why he said this, you know, to fall into the nitty-gritties and into that ikhtilaf and difference, that's not our work. Leave it to them. They will handle themselves. Allah Pak knows about them. They will relate to Allah Ta'ala. Perhaps Allah Ta'ala will forgive them. But yes, we are required not to fall in their affairs, in their business. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare.